Well, good morning again. Glad that you're here with us this morning. As always, I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel the love of Christ's people in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want to welcome you. I'm glad that you're here. If there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, I invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know who you are and would love to get to know you better. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer down at this end and would love to greet you and meet you, and you can bring that blue card with you. Or if you'd rather not do that, you can just leave it there in your seat. And if those registration slips are hung up mid-row, keep those things moving. Before I move into the sermon this morning, I wanted to give you an update on little Ella. You may or may not know the Acevedos, a great family of our church, and they have been fostering little Ella for some time, months and months, and are really probably just weeks away from having the adoption finalized. And they woke up this morning and went to get her out of bed, and she was choking and having trouble breathing, and they called 911. And Jason's a doctor, so, I mean, you know it's serious when he calls 911. I texted him a while ago and said we were praying for them and asked him if he had an update, and he said, not yet. Looks like we're headed to Cook Children's in Fort Worth. So and he thanked us for the prayer. They're at Hendrick, and he said that she was getting a CT scan right now. Well, that's good news that she's okay, maybe not okay long-term, but they have got her stabilized. I mean, when I hear choking and having trouble breathing, all sorts of things can fly through your mind. So I want to I know Billy prayed for her, but I want to pray again. You know, that's one of the things that God's people, we go through these things together. And we know that the only hope that we have is in God. So let's pray real quick. Lord, I thank you, Father, that Ella is stable. I thank you, Father, that she's got Jason and she's got Stacy, and they love her, and we love her, and I know you love her. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd open up that airway. Whatever's going on, whatever is causing this difficulty, that it would be cured. She would be restored to full health. I pray that your peace would fall on Stacy and Jason and the boys. And may you be right there, God. May you draw near to them. You tell us, Lord, in your word that you're the God of all comfort. You're the Prince of Peace, that there's nothing that we face that is too difficult for you to handle. So, Lord, we trust you in that. Draw near to them and heal little Ella in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite books of the Bible. The Apostle Paul is writing this to a church that he started in Philippi, and we know that from Scripture that Paul started many, many churches, but he seems to have a real fondness for this group in Philippi, and you can see that in the opening verses here. Philippians 1, I'm going to begin in verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. Sounds like how I feel about y'all as well. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We know that you are already here with us. We invite you to speak in power and authority. Don't leave us unchanged, O Lord. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series today, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And this week's message, I'm entitled Refining Grace. Refining Grace. Another more theological name for refining grace would be sanctifying grace. But, you know, it's not language that we typically use today, so I've kind of changed the language a little bit for us to maybe see this in a little different light. But refining grace, sanctifying grace. I want to jump right in to unpacking that a little bit. The first thing I want us to look at here is refining or sanctifying grace is to purify or make holy. It's to purify or make holy. We see this, you know, in the scripture that we read today, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's, there's something going on that Paul is telling us here. There's something going on. There's this process that's happening in us that God is doing. And now here's the, I don't know if anybody else has had this dilemma, but for a long time I struggled with this. The scripture in 2 Corinthians, which is also authored by Paul, says that we are a new creation. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And that our sins have been cast from as far away as the east is from the west. That we are washed as white as snow. And so we see that, in fact, God can't have relationship with us unless we are pure, unless we are holy. So the question that I had for many, many years was, if I'm a new creation, why do I go on sinning? Anybody else ever struggle with that? If I'm a new creation, why do I still struggle? Well, I want to kind of talk about that for a second. I think we need to kind of face that and look at it. And here's what I believe the Lord showed me about this several years ago. In Romans, again, Paul, the author, he says, it is no longer I who does it, but it's sin, these unrighteous acts. It's no longer I who does it, but it's sin living in me that does it. And so we've got all this contrast of, well, you're a new creation, you've been washed as white as snow, but you go on sinning, and it's like, anybody else's head about to explode thinking about that? Well, what the Lord, I believe, showed me was that each of us, if you could just look at us, we are spirit and we are flesh. We are spirit and we are flesh. Now, what I believe is God's, let's say this is God's standard. This is God's standard. And we're down here, the spirit and the flesh. We're down here somewhere without Christ. When we come into, by grace, through faith, when we come into a relationship with Christ, spiritually, we are brought up and God sees us the same that he sees Christ. That's throughout Scripture. We see that it says that we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We have been made like Christ. We are heirs like Christ. And so spiritually, and that's the only reason God can have relationship with us, is because spiritually we are made like Christ through Christ. Shake your head if you're following me so far. But here's the problem. We got this old nasty old flesh down here. Okay? And so this theology, this idea of refining grace, it's by grace through faith that we are made like Christ spiritually, but the flesh, this refining grace, is God refining our flesh so that it will catch up with the Spirit. Anybody, shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. Now, this is, I know there's, some of you may have some deep theological thoughts that we can throw in there later, and you can come and talk to me. But now, but listen, on a little further in Philippians, Paul says that this, in chapter 3, he says this, those in Christ put no confidence in the flesh. The stuff that we do, in fact, he's talking about good stuff that we do, is not good enough. I mean, it's not this idea of if we can somehow attain this level of God that we can catch up with him with the Spirit. No, it says that those in Christ put no confidence in the flesh. So let us live up to what we have already attained. Hello, anybody listening? So there's this the flesh that the Holy Spirit is refining us. He is molding us. He is sanctifying us to be like Christ, for the flesh to catch up with the Spirit. This is kind of a little bit deep stuff, but I think it's important for us to know what's going on. Secondly, refining, sanctifying grace is carried out through the Holy Spirit. And I've already mentioned that the passage that we just read today. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's like our flesh, the Holy Spirit is refining us. He's sanctifying us so that our flesh catches up with our spirit, so that we are already clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And I've used this example before. I read this several years ago, and it really kind of blew me away. If there were two chairs right here, and you were sitting in one, and Christ was sitting in the other, and God came along, and someone asked him, which one do you find more favorable? Who do you love more? Who is more pleasing to you, God? You know what he would say? Well, what our instinct is to say, well, Jesus. But no, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He would say, they're both my cherished children. They're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So he sees us as he sees Christ. Now, I'm seeing a lot of stunned faces out there. It's not, we don't put confidence in the flesh. We don't put confidence in how well we serve him and all these things. No, we're trying to are being refined. Our flesh is being refined so that it matches up the way God already sees you. He began a good work in you, and he will carry it on to completion. And in Galatians, again attributed to Paul, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? 2 Corinthians, again, Paul's writings. We are being transformed. There it is, that transformation, that refining. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So there's this constant refining process that is going on in us. It's God's sanctifying, refining grace. And, you know, another way I look at it is, this is the way God sees us. He wants our flesh to match up with that so that we give praise to him, so that when the world looks at us, they go, there's something different about that person. And it brings glory to God. So there's this refining process of the flesh. Thirdly, refining, sanctifying grace, this is the part we don't like to hear, is sometimes achieved through brokenness. How many of you like struggles in life? Well, I don't either. I guess I'll put my hand down. We don't like that, but I know for myself, and I look around the room, I know some of your stories, different things that have happened in your life, and it's like most of the time, I would say, many times if not most of the time, that it's through brokenness, it's through trials that God refines us. He draws us unto himself. James says it this way, the testing of your faith, speaking of trials, develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This refining, sanctifying grace that is going on. Ephesians says it this way, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're God's workmanship. He is refining us. And another translation of that word workmanship is masterpiece. That's actually my favorite way for that to be translated. We're his workmanship. We're his masterpiece, and he's still working on us. When I hear that, passage, I'm going to do something weird today. Y'all may say, you always do something weird, but I'm going to do something really weird today. When I think of that passage that we are his masterpiece, we are his workmanship, I think about a workbench, much like this one right here. This is a little stained glass workbench that I have out in my shop. I like to piddle around occasionally. I haven't done it much lately. I think about God having this workbench, and we are on his workbench. And the problem is all of these things that I've got here that I'm getting ready to work with, they're all inanimate objects. They're just kind of laying here. But we have to place ourselves on God's workbench, and the problem is we have feet. We don't have to stay here. God doesn't chain us and bind us and put us on. In fact, he sets us free. But he's inviting us to trust him, place ourselves on his workbench. If you can just view this, just an old hunk of glass. I want you to picture yourself as I go through this.
One more time. You are forever. love, amazing grace, amazing love, amazing grace.
I forgot to tell you, God plugs in his heat, his soldering iron too. So I'll have to finish that up in just a moment. You know, God loves us enough. He loves us enough to work on us, to not leave us alone. And for, I don't know about you, but for me, I am very thankful for that. That we are God's creation. He is, he sees us as his masterpiece, his workmanship. And you see, I mean, I was throwing this together in a hurry, but you see just the attention to detail that God has in us. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us alone. So I'm going to, this will be finished by the time we finish our closing song, but I want to just, if you'll pray with me. Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you are working on us. You are molding us. That you love us enough. Put us on your workbench. Father, give us the courage to stay put. Give us the courage to allow you to work on us. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As we close and as I finish this creation, you guys, please stand with us.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow.
God's refining grace, it begins right here. It begins right here. But when we come to the cross, God's not through with us. He's still working on us. Anybody besides me still need that? So put yourself on his table. Sit down and relax. Because he only wants good things for you. He only wants good things for you. Go and tell someone. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Lay down your